Okay, so I've been on this team for a number of years, and I'm also full-time in the marketplace. And I guess the biggest challenge for me is to sustain my level of earnestness to see Jesus. I mean, we're getting involved in so many things and business and children's stuff and sport and busyness of life, that sometimes I must admit that I lose the earnestness to see Jesus in everything that I do. We've got a meeting on a Sunday and it's wonderful, but then there's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and a Friday that we need to be earnest to seek Jesus in everything that we do. Every deal we make, every meeting we're having, and that to me is a huge challenge. And I'm sure there's some of you that feel the same, exactly the same way. So this morning I want to tell you about a little man, a Klein Ookie, who was very rich. He was a crook. And he was so earnest to see Jesus that he climbed a tree. So will you turn with me to Luke chapter 19, please? Lucas 19. Neem ek is my bril opsit. I think the scripture is on the screens as well. If I can bring it on. If not, just follow me with me in the Bible. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Just let us pray. Father, I want to ask you this morning, Lord, that you be glorified. I pray that you break open this word to us, Lord. And if there's some of us in need of seeking you, Lord, will you open our hearts? Will you break open whatever barriers there are that there may be, Lord? I pray that this morning I'm simply a vessel, Lord. I'm simply bringing a message. Lord, will you speak? But Lord, at the same time, will you open hearts? May we not miss what you want to do this morning, Father. If there's anybody here that needs to respond, Father, put an earnestness in their hearts, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so to tell the story, I need to just go back a chapter or two. In Luke chapter 18, there's a ruler, a rich young ruler, who comes to Jesus. He falls on his knees and he says, "Lord, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looked at him and he said, "You know what to do. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not swear, you shall not steal, you shall not kill," all those things. And the guy replied, he said, "Lord, but I've kept them since I was a son, a boy." And then Jesus looked at him and he said, "Okay, prachtig, but what you must now do, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then follow me." And then at this, the guy, he turned away sadly. The word says he was sad in his heart and he turned away because he had much possessions. And then Jesus, he explains to me, he says, "It's so difficult to get a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's like taking a camel through the eye of a needle. That's how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." So at this, the disciples were totally confused. I mean, who do we then preach to? Who can be saved? Some guys have money, some don't have money. Is it just a limited kingdom? And then Jesus, he put it so well. He said, "To you, it's impossible, but for me, everything is possible." So I want to say this morning, if Jesus needs to take a camel through the eye of a needle to save you this morning, he will do so. It's not impossible for him. So I want you to open up your hearts as we just continue the story. So Jesus enters Jericho and there's this blind beggar and he falls on his knees and he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So immediately Jesus heals him. He's restoring his sight and he follows Jesus immediately. And then he carries on. He goes into Jericho. So for us to just understand, to have some background, so Jesus was passing by, says the word. Now, why does he say that? I think this morning, I want to tell you, friends, Jesus may never again pass by in this way through 3CI than he does this morning. If you need to respond this morning, don't delay. This may be your very, very last time, either to set things right or to come to terms with Jesus and to accept him as your Savior. Just open your heart to what he wants to do. He entered Jericho and was passing through. So for us to get a background of who this guy Zacchaeus was, I need to give you some background as to what he did. Okay? So Jericho was it was part of the main route between Egypt and Damascus. And they traded, it was a very high value balm that they traded from Egypt. So all the revenue out of this lucrative trade, the taxes on that was paid into Jericho, which was one of three main tax areas in that area. So in this tax office, Sarskantoor, we had a guy named Zacchaeus, and he was a tax collector. But not only a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. So hy was die kaptein van hierdie ouens. He was like the mean machine, which we don't like. Okay? So none of us love to pay taxes. But this is how their system worked. Okay? So today, as we know, the employer will confirm your salary. You will get a pay slip. You'll get an IRP-5. You will submit it to the receiver, your taxes deducted. And at the end of the year, if it's short, you will pay in or you'll get back. That's how our system works. But in those days, this tax collector, he simply would walk up to a house and he would say, Clint, ek dink jy moet R7,000 betaal. So he would then collect R7,000 from a person. He would just look at his house and decide there and then, this is what you pay. So R7,000 would be paid over to him. He would then fill out a form, a return, kind of, to the Roman Empire, which they hated. And on that form, he will only declare 5,000. So 2,000, Zacchaeus would put into his pocket. So like a soccer, naderhand. So he put all the money into his pocket. But he was a chief of tax collectors. So he earned commission on the other tax collectors also in Jericho. Because it was a big city, I assume there must have been 150, 200 other tax collectors as well. So Zacchaeus, he not only crooked people, but he also earned revenue on other tax collectors also crooking. So he was a hated man. He was a Jew, first of all. And secondly, he worked for the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire was a hated regime of the day. People were living in total distress all the time. And these Pharisees, they put their laws on these people and they hated the Roman Empire. So here was a Jew, one of them, working for the enemy, paying their taxes, stealing their money, living in a lacquer house, and that was Zacchaeus. So this guy this morning, for some other reason, he decided he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, if you just put it into context, he was probably the richest guy in Jericho, or one of the richest guys in Jericho. He probably had the best house. He probably could do just whatever he wanted to. There was no reason for him to come into the street. He was a short man, the word says. So he was despised as well. So his reputation was shocking. So for him this morning, so here's this procession. And some commentators say there must have been over 1,000 people following Jesus. He was on his way to get crucified. This was the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He was going to be crucified and he was on his way there. So Zacchaeus, there had to be a reason why this guy wanted to see Jesus. I think he must have heard all the stories. He must have heard about the miracles that Jesus had done. He must have heard about the lepers, as Stephen preached last week. He must have heard about the blind getting sight. He must have heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. He must have heard about all these miracles. But I think the ultimate was for him when he thought about Levi, the tax collector, who became Matthew, the disciple. When Jesus said, Levi, follow me, and he followed him. And he became Matthew, the tax collector. And I think Zacchaeus heard about that. And he came to a point in his life, and maybe there's some of us this morning that's also there. He just got to a point where he said, Lord, there has to be more in life. He had anything, he had everything that he desired. If you had that kind of money, you sit in your house and you drink coffee and beer. That's what you do. You don't come out in the street and expose yourself. Because the people of the day hated him. And I think they just wanted to clap him every time they see him. So I can just imagine this guy. He was probably short, long nose, hat, boopens. He was just not a lakaoki. Okay. But there was an earnestness in his heart, I believe. There was an earnestness in his heart to see Jesus. And if you're here this morning and there's an earnestness in your heart to see Jesus, don't leave. until you are gladly received by Christ. Can I challenge you with that? So this is what he did. He couldn't get through the crowds because probably, I again just picture the scene. He would try and run in there and they would just clap him. They wouldn't allow him to see. And he couldn't see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. So he ran around because he saw the procession was going that way. And he climbed into a sycamore tree, a sycamore fig tree. Now, how amazing is God's providence and his plan of salvation? A sycamore tree in the day resembled regeneration. It symbolized regeneration. Now, regeneration refers to a person being spiritually reborn. How amazing is that? He chose that tree to go and climb into, and he didn't know that. But that is just Christ's, the love of Christ. So he ran ahead and he sat in this tree. Can you imagine? Again, richest guy in town, and he sits in this tree, and he's waiting. Hier gaan dinge nou gebeur. He wants to see who Jesus is. And Jesus walks up to him, and he stood still, and he looked up, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. For today I must dine with you. How did he know his name? Friends, I want to tell you, Psalm 139, Jesus knows your thoughts. There's nothing he doesn't know about you. Not your ins, not your outs. There's nothing that he doesn't know about you. He knew Zacchaeus' name. And which is more, he knew the earnestness in his heart. He knew it was there. You know, in John chapter 7, Jesus is at this feast. And I often refer to that because that is to me such an amazing word. Jesus stands up in this feast and he says, if there's any one of you that's thirsty this morning, come to me and drink. And from your heart will flow streams of living water. And I think Zacchaeus was that guy that day. Amongst that crowd, he was possibly the only one that was thirsty to see Jesus. He had just reached a point in his life where there was nothing. All his money, all of that meant nothing. He wanted to see Jesus. There was more. So he climbed this and Jesus said, come down immediately. You see, Jesus, his expectation is for us to act immediately. He wants us to act now, today. Not tomorrow, today. He says, come down. Come down, I want to eat with you. Can you imagine the Son of God inviting you to have supper with him? You know, Song of Songs, this girl is behind this, runs behind this guy, and he says, the king has drawn me into his chambers. A chamber is where Jesus would sit and have supper with you. You have the opportunity this morning to have supper with the Son of God. So Zacchaeus heard that invitation, and he took it immediately. And the word said he supped with him, he ate with him, he went into his house. Probably had a long supper, and they spoke about things, and Jesus just spoke life over him. That's what he wants to do with us this morning. So this is his reaction. The word says he came down at once and received him gladly. He received him gladly. Now remember the ruler? He left sad. Jesus invited him, he left sad. Zacchaeus received him gladly with joy in his heart. And he immediately reacted, immediately. He went and he said, Lord, today I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to sell all of my possessions. And if I've stolen anything, I'm going to return it four times. That was never required by law, to return four times. But he was so convicted in his heart. I think he must have sat in his room when he was dining with Jesus. And he must have looked outside and he must have seen the eyes of the people that he had stolen from. And I think it was he had just such a conviction. And he said, Lord, today I'm going to return fourfold what I've stolen from these guys. Jesus receives him gladly into the kingdom right there and then. He declares him saved. He said, you're a son of Abraham. Now, Abraham was the father of all who believes. Jews, non-Jews, black, white, all of them. And he invited him into that kingdom. And he was a saved man and he left joyfully. So this guy, in front of all these people who had always been criticizing him, spat on him probably, hated him for stealing, in front of all of them, he declared, I am a child of God. And he was saved. So for me to bring it home to where we are today, sure, I want to say we come to a Sunday morning and it's wonderful. And it's wonderful. And sometimes I wonder, is there really an earnestness in our hearts to see Jesus? You know, we've got everything going our way. We're all rich. If you have a car and a home, regarded as the top 5% in the world, probably. We are all rich. We all have a good life. sitting here. But are we earnest to see Jesus like this man was? And if I look at the earnestness in his heart, it triumphed. It was the earnestness was triumphed over a couple of things, which I think we just need to consider this morning. The first one is money. Again, he was so eager that in spite of his money and what he could do with it, he said, "Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you." So his money didn't stand in the way. Now, I want to say whether you have little or much, money is always an issue. The man with little will always criticize the rich. The rich would always look down on the one with little. Money is always an issue. So Zacchaeus, in spite of his richness and what he had a desperation in his heart to see Jesus. He did not count that worthy. Secondly, his reputation. I mean, I think I've explained clearly what this guy's reputation was, just that it gestunk. Hy was nie 'n lekker mens, dink ek nie. So in spite of that reputation and what may face him, climbing down that tree and joining the crowd, in spite of that reputation, he said, "I'm not going to let that stand in my way. I'm going to jump up the tree because I want to see Jesus." In spite of his, in spite of the crowds, you know, ons Afrikaners, ons is bang as daar crowds is. Ek is een van hulle. We don't want to, where there's crowds, it's difficult. And he said, in spite of all these crowds, all these thousands looking at me, despising me, my eagerness in my heart, my earnestness in my heart is going to triumph over that today. And he didn't stop him from seeing Jesus. Then lastly, which I think is very applicable and a huge obstacle for all of us, it's our busyness. Ons is so besig, né? The economy is tough. There's hard decisions we need to make. There's difficulty. There's misunderstandings. There's all kinds of issues. But the difficulty and the busyness of our lives. I mean, I try and keep my quiet time and I pray. But we just don't make sufficient time for Christ. We just don't. Like Michael Eaton in 2009, he was here. He was standing right here. And I remember him preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he got so emotional, Michael Eaton, that day. He just said, "You have to make time." He always did this. You have to make time to come with Christ, to sit with him, to dine with him, to make time to hear his voice, to hear his heart. So our busyness is a huge, huge issue for all of us. Our lives are so busy. We're trying to do new business. We're trying to do all sorts of things. And there's always just an excuse to kind of suppress the eagerness in our hearts to see the King of Kings. In our daily walk, in our daily transactions, in our daily conversations with our wives and our kids, there's always busyness that's... So I want to ask you, if there's anything that you have stolen, anything that you have... stealing isn't only money. Stealing is maybe you've stolen time that you should have spent with your children, with your wife. I want us to just open our hearts and to allow God to do that.